cannot stop the masses from gathering to view the film, but best to avoid any fulsome indecorum until we're assured a positive reaction.
Remember that Waterworld 2 premiere?
Exactly, David. Oh, the last place anyone wanted to be when those reviews came in was a glass-bottomed pirate ship in the middle of the ocean.
Good luck, though.
Lick rust.
Thank you.
Alexis cobbles together an impressive premiere for The Crows Have Eyes 3, The Crowening, which has all of our townies getting dolled up to walk the red carpet. Johnny and Stevie have a heart-to-heart about the future of their working relationship, and Patrick makes some surprising revelations to David while under the influence of anesthesia. Shield your loins and don't look the crows in the eye as we dive into Season 6, Episode 5, The Premiere.
Caw-caw, bitches!
Hello again, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Caw-caw.
Caw-caw, Katie.
This is the most caw-caw episode.
Caw-caw-razy episode.
So we're here. It's the premiere,
the
Stephanie.
Premiere, Katie.
Long-awaited. I love this episode. It's so funny. One of my favorites.
Yes. Jam-packed.
The fashion and the pageantry. Mm-hmm. It's just so exciting.
Mm-hmm. The drugs.
The drugs. You know, right up my alley. But we'll get into the episode. Let's talk news. As we were just saying, there's not a lot of news out there.
Right.
But, of course, we're all looking to you every week for wedding news.
Corner.
Should we do polls first or wedding news first?
Let's do polls first because we've got a couple and then we can sit down in our wedding corner and
all right,
give our weekly updates.
Feed me the poll results.
All right.
Stephanie.
I did just a couple polls this week. I wanted to know with David's predicament last week of kind of finalizing his maid of honor choices when there was some conflict. Who would you, our audience, prefer to have as your maid of honor? Stevie, Alexis, or I threw Ronnie in there for good measure.
If you say Ronnie.
Well, one person did say Ronnie. They would choose Ronnie. Which would be fun. But then overwhelmingly, it was kind of a 2-to-1 ratio. Stevie over Alexis. I was surprised. We got
who would
62%
you pick? I was surprised
Alex
also.
Or Stevie. And just 33% Alexis.
So one of those was my vote.
Okay.
I voted for Alexis.
I would have expected Alexis to win that, to be honest.
Me too.
Mostly because of what she said about, like, she would plan a killer bachelorette party. But the problem that maybe people noticed is that she might also get abducted during that bachelorette party. And then she's out of commission for your wedding.
Here, I thought you were going to say you were going to pick her because you want those nudes of Diplo sent you.
I could see her being maybe a liability, but we also, as you'll see tonight, realize that she is a pretty good event planner. So,
yeah.
And we already knew that from Singles Week.
Before tonight, you said that my initial thought as to why people didn't pick her is maybe, yeah, she'd plan a really killer bachelorette party and that would be great, but there's a lot more responsibility that go into being a maid of honor. Maybe they thought she would bomb at those or something.
And this is a little bit of a spoiler, but maybe people don't want their maid of honor wearing a white dress to their wedding. And that's all I'm going to say about it. So fair enough.
That's all I'm going to say about that. So yeah, that was an interesting poll result.
Yeah.
I was definitely surprised by
Me
the
too.
Answers, but good for Stevie.
Good for Stevie. Yeah. Stevie's getting some love. The other poll we did is with the Johnny and Roland squatter situation. What would you do in that moment? Would you confront the squatter? Would you call the police? Or would you just eat some Polly Puffs and wait it out? And I think we had one brave soul who said confront them. Most people, 72%, said call the police. And then 22% said they are down from some Polly Puffs. So
if y'all are confronting a man with a gun when you know he has a gun, y'all are wild.
Yeah, for sure.
But hey, brave souls.
Brave
out
souls,
there.
Totally. So yeah, those were our polls from the week.
That's fun.
Like you said, not a lot of news out there in the Schitt's Creek world. Although I do keep seeing this article that keeps popping up on my Instagram feed that, like, I don't know if it's interviewing Dan or the writers, and they're just saying, we always imagined a universe where the show could pick up at any moment. Like, I don't know if they're like teasing a revival or like a, you know, whatever, but I guess it's getting traction, which it comes
I'm so
ways.
Vehemently opposed to this every
I
time
know
I
you
see
are.
It. I can't. It's like give it up, people.
I think so. And also I don't know that like making a movie either is the way to go. Like, I think of shows that did this, like Downton Abbey or Sex and the City, which those Sex and the City movies,
I didn't see either one of those.
But I just, yeah, I think we ended in the perfect place. It was called Happy Ending Teaser to the Future, but like, just let it be happy.
It was a happy ending.
Yeah, it was a happy ending. So that was the only thing.
Speaking of shows being made into movies, remember at one time there was talk about The Walking Dead having a Rick Grimes movie.
Yeah, then COVID happened. It was going to be like movies plural. But now they are making that into a show. Like, there is going to be a Rick and Michonne show because I've seen them teasing that. But like,
talk about a show that does not quit while it's ahead. Barf. I'm sorry if you still watch that,
guys. We wish it would let itself die, but unfortunately, it's the undead, so they will never die.
We were huge fans. At one point, you may have thought we might have done a podcast about Walking Dead.
Truly.
And now we hate it.
We've been soured.
Very soured. So,
yeah. Although I didn't tell you this. I have watched a couple episodes of the new Daryl Dixon.
Did you?
Series.
We didn't watch any of that, but we watched one or two of the Maggie and Negan spinoffs. Oh, how many freaking spinoffs do we need?
Like, I like the Daryl one just because he goes to Paris and hilarious.
Yeah. And, how romantic.
But like, it Speaking just gives Paris, like, completely fresh context.
There's bed bug problems in Paris right now.
Oh no.
And like, it's coming up on Fashion Week or something, and people are afraid to go.
Yeah.
You should know about this Fashion Week in Paris.
I do. I did know about the bed bugs though. So that is,
yeah, it's a rampant problem in public transportation and theaters and things like that. Even it's been popping up in memes all over my
feed. I think bugs are worse than lice because I know people who've had to throw out their mattresses. Bed bugs, so
we had a whole process we had to do when you had them.
Major ick.
All right. Well, Paris and bed bugs, unrelated to Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Steph's wedding plans, semi related to Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, my updates.
And that it's our podcast,
and we can talk about whatever.
Oh my god, my cat just darted in front of me and jumped up on the in one fell swoop. Okay,
oh my gosh. So if the power goes out, she's trampled your cord.
Being naughty tonight. Okay. She's not her peaceful, quiet self. Sorry.
No, you were good.
Proceed.
She just wanted to be here for this major announcement, Katie, for my wedding update. I've signed on a major vendor for my wedding, another big check off the list, and that's my officiant.
Do tell.
Everybody, my officiant is so charismatic, well-spoken, funny, knows the ins and outs of the wedding business. It is none other than my co-host to this very podcast, Katie Fossell. Katie, you are my officiant.
Oh my god, cute, nervous, anxious.
So you guys, Katie laughter. Doesn't know this, but we have had her as the top runner on our very short list, which only had like maybe one other person we were seriously thinking about, for months. We've known from the beginning that we wanted we're not doing a religious ceremony.
Somebody you know, right?
And we would like to do an officiant, ideally somebody we know, because I've been to weddings where someone took that route. And I thought that was so smart because officiants kind of set the tone for the ceremony. No pressure, Katie. But like, you can always tell when an officiant doesn't really know the couple that well.
Oh, 100%.
Or they've had like 1 hour of a meeting with them. And that was kind of my brother's wedding, if I'm being honest.
Or they filled out their little religious questionnaire about their life before and after marriage. And you're
my
going
brother's
off that,
wedding,
right?
Like, it was a religious person. It was a pastor. And he tried to come up with this anecdote that tied in basically key points from a 30-minute meeting he had with them. And I just felt rigid, and like, he tried to make it funny, and I was not a fan. And I'm like, right? I don't want anything.
It's just a script that he fills in.
Yes.
Like names.
But it like made no sense at times. It was so weird. And so I'm like, yeah, we don't want that. And so we knew we wanted to have somebody we knew and we liked, and we,
oh my god, you like me.
We like you so much. And so I was like, yeah, I feel like Katie, it makes total sense to me. And Sushant was on board. And so then it was like,
so you didn't have to convince him.
No. We had one other person in mind. I think I told you this.
Yeah.
It was someone who's very tall.
I was going to go on and explain my qualifications for this position.
Katie is the perfect candidate for so many reasons, including her height is like right on par with Sushant and I. We're all little shorties. And so I felt like from a visual perspective, it made sense to have someone more eye level with us.
Okay.
that wasn't the leading quality. That was just a perk as to why we chose you. But
it's okay if that's one of the leading qualities. I'm very honored to do this. Stephanie, this is how it all happened. She tricked me. Well, she didn't really trick me, but she just texted me and said, hey, I need some input on some wedding stuff. And here's the thing. I've been on this 30-day 30-day hard, many set of rules. One of them was no alcohol, but hey, we got an 80-degree weekend in October in Michigan. And you know, that rule went by the wayside.
Yeah.
So this was Sunday after a Sunday fun day in the pool in October. And I had literally passed out at 7 p.m. on the couch and woke up to this text around 9. Can you give me some wedding input? I need your advice. I said, yeah.
And that, we don't need to over text. We want to FaceTime you.
You didn't even say that. You just said, said I need some input. I said, yeah. Oh, well, I mentioned, I said, well, if you give me a few minutes, I need to like just basically move from the couch to the bed to peel my contacts out of my eyes and move from the couch to the bed. I said, if you can text it, like text away. Otherwise, we can FaceTime, whatever.
Yeah.
So then she FaceTimes and goes into this spiel and then lays this big fat goose egg on me. And I'm like, what? So she was like, you can think about it. And then when you have 0.0% alcohol in your system, maybe tell me tomorrow. And of course, like, there's nothing to think about. I'm never going to say no to this because it's such an honor. Will I say I'm nervous? Hell yes. I'm very nervous.
Yeah.
I said, I have been having nightmares about Crystal's maid of honor speech for the last 6 months. Now I'm over that and I can have nightmares about Steph's wedding for the next 6 months. So just know that I take it that seriously, that I will be losing sleep over it. So well, I'm going to, in the words of Moira Rose, though, I'm going to fucking nail it, Stephanie.
I hope. We're so excited for that.
I hope.
Those of you who have seen through the entirety of the show, because we do know, I know a couple people who tune in and they watch along for the first time.
Yep.
So I'm not going to spoil anything, but just know that this show gives added significance to Katie as to why this is the opportunity of a lifetime.
I'm 100% taking inspiration from the show. Like even if this show didn't end the way it did, like I would have no choice based on this. Absolutely. Well, I'm excited. I'm very nervous, but
we're going to work you guys to get Katie ordained in the state of Kentucky.
I mean, they let you marry your brother there, so that's it shouldn't be too hard, right? No offense if you are pride of Kentucky, you know.
Well,
offense.
I think I've told you in Missouri, my older brother got married in Missouri. You have to take a blood test before they give you your marriage license. Yeah, to make sure you are not.
They had
closely Anne and Ryan related.
Anne and Ryan had to do that when they got married in Mexico too.
Yeah,
it's wild. And she's afraid of needles big time. Ooh. So that was the double whammy for her.
I don't know that Kentucky has that rule, but if they do, I'm just going to be like, he's from India. I'm American, European descent. So I think we're good. But
there's no relation here.
No relation. So anyway,
that's the big
updates.
Wedding news.
Yeah. Katie, so, like you said, we've got a big premiere tonight.
Yeah. So this week, there's actually no wedding talk at all this week. I think it's one of few episodes in the season.
I think you're
right. But it is, of course, all about Moira tonight. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yes.
So we're ready to roll. Ready to walk this red carpet and get moving.
Let's do it.
All right. So we start at our, good old throwback in the motel. And Moira's in the kids' room. And Alexis is mid-presentation. She's got a little flip chart out. And it's, what does it say on the front?
Crows.
Does it say crows already? I thought she had something on her first slide that just said IKEA something like that.
Yeah.
So she goes out on this big spiel as your publicist. She's really taking this role seriously. Mm-hmm. It is my job to optimize her branded approach to a real-time engagement with her fan base through contextual marketing. And wow, what a mouthful.
I know. I think Moira uses the word ideation at some point too.
Instead of just idea.
Yeah.
Moira says, well, I hope I'm not paying you by the word. Which I don't know at this point. Is she paying her?
Yeah.
We have no idea.
TBD.
But Alexis says, yes, she uses the word ideation, which is why I've come up with the ideation for the following or the ideation for the following. I don't even know how she worded it. It's such a big mouthful of words. Mm-hmm. And you can see David, he's getting ready to go. He's tying his shoes to go somewhere and he's just watching in the back and he's slightly amused. Just he's got that look on his face, that look that says
he's being a lurker.
I'm about to be a little jerk to my sister. Yeah. But I have somewhere to go, but I need to just stay and have fun with this. He's got that look on his eye in the back.
Totally.
So she flips over one page at a time. Crows with Moira reading. Mm-hmm. Movie. Premiere. And suddenly the room is abuzz with excitement. And Moira is really interested. She said, where are they thinking? New York, LA, London? That would be more central for the Bosnian team, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Which this is a surprise for everybody in the room because, as David said, I thought it was just streaming. They don't do premieres for movies that are streaming, which I don't even know. I guess now that streaming services are making so many of their old movies, do they have premieres?
I think Netflix does premiere events because it's for publicity. The publicity of it all.
And
so
these companies have big names now. I feel like they must do some kind of a premiere.
And premieres are often at like events that aren't like an AMC theater necessarily. Like it might be more of a auditorium or a different viewing space. I don't know. I've never been
like some kind of a dinner where the stars all get together and give quotes and take some pictures, but they're not really screening it on the big screen, obviously.
Right.
In that
it's
setting.
All for the marketing of the film. I think that still happens.
It has always been like a dream of mine to, you know, either go to the Oscars or go to a movie premiere. And I mean, maybe more so when I was younger. I probably could care less now, but I definitely was all into that Hollywood glam stuff.
Yeah.
So suddenly for Alexis, things start to spiral, unfortunately, because David is here to push her buttons. And she says, no, they're not doing a premiere. And Moira just can't stop interrupting. What? She says premiere. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about? And David's there to just say, yeah, what is going on? And she says, I'm sorry. Are you part of this? Leave, please. Mm-hmm. And she says, no, they're not having a premiere, but it would be a good, little local event to just have our own premiere and bring in some press and like have this immersive experience. She's got this idea planned and Moira just can't picture this. She just can't.
As soon as she says that, that's when David and Moira are like making eyes at each other.
Team up on her, right? Yeah, gang up on her. So Moira's just not, she's not sold on this idea. She thinks it's beneath her, which is, come on, Moira. Like, what? Nothing is beneath you anymore. I thought you were over this, you know?
Yeah.
And she kind of puts in a dig with David at her side. She says, what's next? I signed my name in the pavement outside Bob's garage. And I'm thinking to the Moira's Roses Garden 4856. Why wouldn't you put your star there?
Right. Yeah.
your Hollywood star. And David says, oh, yeah. And Jocelyn gives you an honorary degree at her school, which that shit is kind of stupid to me, too. You know how like celebrities and singers and here's your honorary PhD or your honor, like so stupid to me.
Yeah. I also felt like that was an extra dig at Alexis because she literally went to Jocelyn's school to get her degree. So it felt like an extra double dig.
You have your master's. Does that feel like a slight to you?
Yeah.
For someone who, like, as celebrities go get these honorary things and you've put in all the work.
Well, I put in all the $60,000, too.
And the money. Yeah. The work and the money.
For sure.
And then Moira throws in one last dig. We host the Met Gala at David's store. And he doesn't like that one. He does not like when his his store is being tossed into the mix. But David, you own a store in this podunk little town. So you better embrace it.
You better own it.
So she says, Moira says, I don't think we should jinx anything. And she's not ready to sink this low quite yet. And no one is supporting Alexis here. It's really discouraging because she brings up some plans she had. She said, I have a carpet on order. I have these crows lined up. And it's just really kind of disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And Moira says, no, we're not. It's not happening, basically.
I know.
Kind of snuffs out her fire. And on the way out, David says, good luck, though. And we get the perfect companion to this sibling quote. The former quote was eat glass, and Alexis throws in her lick rust.
Definitely episode title.
Do you think it would be worse to eat glass or lick rust?
A mouthful of blood or a belly full of tetanus? Probably I would take the rust.
I feel like you'd have a mouthful of blood if you licked rust anyway. Like, it feels like I'm imagining the feel of sandpaper on your tongue.
But glass is for sure going to bust you up.
That's true.
There's no way.
There's people out there with that affliction known as pica that eat like glass and rocks and things like that. It makes me cringe. The thought of that and your teeth. All right. So, so you'll take the lick rust.
I will.
In this episode of Steph's Would You Rather segment, I'll
get my tennis shot first, if I may, and then I'll go for the rest.
Okay. That's fair. Tennis is be safe. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do the next little scene quick too. And then we'll split off into storyline. So the next scene is out in the countryside and everyone's in Stevie's car, Stevie, David, and Patrick, and they're on their way driving presumably to Elmdale or some bigger metropolis where everything happens. And Stevie says, well, I can't think of anything better to do. And since it's in my maid of honor responsibilities to drive my friend's fiance to his wisdom teeth removal. So Patrick is going to get his wisdom teeth removed. The worst.
And his car is also in the shop. It's another reference to Patrick's beater of a car. If it's at Bob's garage, it's probably not going to be fixed.
It's not coming out. Cargo, which is what cars normally do unless they go to Bob's garage. So the wisdom teeth removal, Stephanie, we have talked about this on this podcast before, haven't we?
I think so.
We've definitely talked in person about it.
Yeah.
You've all four of your wisdom teeth out?
I was a lucky specimen who only had two. I never developed more than two.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I think they were on the bottom, if I'm remembering correctly. I did not have any top wisdom teeth.
I had all four, but my top two really bothered me first because they were out and they were cutting into the sides of my cheek. And they weren't causing jaw pain or anything. They were just irritating my mouth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those pulled out like lickety split, easy peasy. In with a pair of pliers, local anesthesia, pop right out, right?
Right.
Then later in life, the bottom one started bothering me. And those were the serious business. And I think this is the case for a lot of people. The bottom ones are more in there just based on your jaw anatomy.
Do you know why humans have wisdom teeth, Katie?
Well, isn't it something that we evolved out of?
Yeah. Our early ancestors in our caveman days, this is what this website says. They didn't have forks and knives to cut up their food and they couldn't even cook meat. So they needed to chew coarse, hearty foods and needed a broader jaw. And wisdom teeth gave them that extra chewing power.
Well, think about the physics of a lever and a wedge. And the farther back you are, the more the more pressure is back there. So
I don't know how they became.
I feel really smart that I just thought of physics in this sentence. I just want you to know. I wonder why they're called wisdom teeth. We'll have to look into that.
I'm doing some quick research. They call them wisdom teeth because they come through or develop at a more mature age. So it's like,
as you gain wiser wisdom,
you gain your wisdom teeth. Because usually people are like in their late teens, early 20s.
Until they make an appearance.
So Patrick's kind of a late bloomer with his wisdom teeth removal.
Yeah, or at least till they started bothering him.
Right.
Because some people get them and they
have mine were impacted. Yeah. Like they never broke out. Yeah.
Mine were not impacted. You could just see the bottoms of them, but they were pressing against the back of my other teeth.
I can imagine that becomes painful. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad for me, but it was to the point where it's like, I might as well just do this.
Get these out of here. Yeah.
Get some good drugs after and, you know, take a few days off work. I mean, what's not to love about a few days off work? If I have to get my wisdom teeth out or not.
Totally.
So anyway, back to the car ride. Mm-hmm. Stevie kind of lets on, well, I do have something better to do, actually. I have a business meeting this afternoon. And she just kind of drops that statement out into the thick air.
And she's like biting her cheeks like she knows.
She's like trying not to add what she knows she should add. And Patrick chimes in. You're just going to leave it at that, huh? I love this kind of showcases. He's just comfortable, just as comfortable with her as David is now. Yeah. Like they're all buds, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, Mr. Rose asked to come over to my place today, and I think he's going to ask for me to come back to the business, and I don't really know if I should do it, and blah, blah, blah. And David chimes in from the back seat. What is better than owning your own business? What more do you want? I mean, having owned my own business, I can think of a lot of things that I didn't like about it.
Yeah.
But if that's your jam, then yes, being your own boss is ideal. Mm-hmm. Because I hate that I have to go to work for someone else. I just hate that I have to labor in life in general. But owning your own business is a lot. So
it's a lot, but it can come with a lot of freedom and flexibility too.
So she, I think for the most part, is just really disappointed because she feels like, I was trying to take this situation, this opportunity really, to go out and experience new things and see new things. And now I'm basically excited to come crawling back to the same place. And Patrick gives like the best argument. I love what he says in this moment. He says, maybe you just needed to see what you didn't want in order to figure out what you did.
Totally.
That is a classic, like perfectly good advice, because I'm sure a lot of people are in this situation where, you know, something doesn't work out the way you think it was going to work out. Mm-hmm. And you feel bad about settling back into old habits, or you feel like you are settling rather.
Yeah.
And shit happens, man. Yeah. Everything doesn't have to be a complete 180 in your life.
Right. And you can change your job at any time in your life. And many people do. So at the university where I teach, we are kind of known for our very unique and extensive co-op or internship program, mm-hmm. where we are a 5-year degree for a bachelor's, but it's the same number of semesters as a 4-year program on campus. So they're here for 8 semesters. But there's an additional 5 that begin rotating in their second year where they do a semester on campus and then they do a co-op semester. And they do that 5 more rotations. So when they graduate, they have about a year and a half of industry experience. And most students have a different co-op each of those 5 semesters, which I tell them is so good at that age, especially because not only might you find what you like, but you can figure out what you don't like. And you're right. Only committing to like a 3 to 4 month internship versus like signing onto a job
yeah.
that maybe a lot of them go to different cities. We have students who go to New York and other countries. So like, it's so much easier to commit to 4 months and maybe you hate it, but then it still informs you, like,
and then
okay,
you know,
I don't want to do that. And let me try something out next time. So yeah, those experiences. And I would even say when I worked with you, Katie, like that was very much my experience was like, I learned a lot about what I don't want to do. What I didn't want to do. Yeah. So
yeah,
it's all good.
Stevie knows too. She does not want to be involved with Larry Ayer. We've established that last week, right?
Yeah.
And Patrick brings up the fact too, not even job related, but just life story related. Look at me. 2 years ago, I thought I'd have a wife and a kid by now, you know?
Yeah.
And now he's going for a completely different gender.
I love David. And he's like, well, you have one of those. And at first, I didn't know what he meant. I was like, is David calling him? Because he already calls himself a bride. So I'm like, right. Is he also calling himself a wife? I don't know.
But no, he's very young at heart. I also have I'm also married with a kid.
You are. A 50-year-old child. Yeah,
50-year-old child, Joe Fossil. Yeah. So that's kind of where that ends. We're going to stick with the Johnny and Stevie storyline first. So we'll find out what this business meeting is all about right away.
Okay.
So Johnny does come over to the apartment later on. She obviously just dropped the guys off and went back home.
Yeah.
Which I don't like, how are they getting home at this point? Which is fine. Yeah, we figure that out later, but whatever. So he comes to visit and he brings a tray of sandwiches from the cafe, which is nice. So it was his first visit. He wanted to bring a housewarming.
You could tell he was kind of like nervous too.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this like opening shot of her apartment, she's got like a garbage bag and a bottle of cleaning solution on the counter. And Johnny inserts his foot in his mouth immediately and says, I'm glad you're so comfortable with me that you didn't feel like you had to tidy up. First of all, who the freak says that?
I know, Johnny.
Why are you saying he's always saying stupid shit like this? Always. Yeah. Right?
Also, Stevie, she filled the garbage bag because it's drawn tight.
Yeah.
But I'm an advocate for garbage pans in the kitchen need to be in an enclosed space. Like the open garbage can, not a fan of that.
Yeah, ours is in a like a pull-out drawer type style.
If there's like food smells coming out of it. You gotta keep that. We keep ours under the sink.
Yeah, this is a good poll. Where do you keep your garbage can? Because I feel like that's 90% of the answer is under the sink. That's a common thing.
Yeah.
But she did clean up, she says awkwardly, and then he has to reverse his tracks and say, yeah, but you didn't feel like you needed
to.
You did anyway. That's really nice. And then he awkwardly sits on the side of her bed as they're getting ready to go into their talk. And he's like, but not on your, I'm not going to sit on your bed though, which is one of these awkward things about studio apartments and or just dorm rooms. Like I remember when we first moved into the college dorm, it was so annoying just not having anywhere to sit, like generally if people came over.
Right.
But it is more awkward when your dad age Johnny Rose mm-hmm. friend sits on your bed and she invites him over to this retro diner style table. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a little quick shout out to my cousin Deanne because they used to have a table similar to this style in their kitchen. Yeah. And it is a very vivid memory of my house.
The vinyl and the chrome
detailing. It's like Stevie's is all red. And I know that Deanne's, she's going to chime in and tell me, was like a gray top, but it had that gold chrome side to it. Mm-hmm. And the chairs were a mix of turquoise and red, if I remember appropriately. Ooh. But it was very similar to Stevie's style. So it's just a real throwback to my childhood.
Apparently.
Vivid memory of my life at my cousin Deanne's house. So they sit down at this table and he starts his little spiel. And Stevie mentioned in the car, you know, I think he's going to ask me back. And I think the guys in the car kind of talked her into like, well, it's not the worst thing in the world. Yeah. Maybe you should embrace
it, right?
She even seemed
kind of excited by the prospect of him mm-hmm. doing that.
And as he's talking to, he's saying, you know, I know you're trying to get out there. We have put together kind of a really good team. We bought this new motel. And she's kind of leading him to where she thinks the conversation is going to go. She kind of says, you don't have to sell me on the team. I'm already part of the team.
She's like nodding along like she knows what he's going to say mm-hmm. next too.
But he has a proposal for her. You do? Like she's all excited mm-hmm. about it. Shocking. You have a proposal for me. And it is the 100% opposite of what G is expecting.
She is shook.
And he wants to buy her out.
Yeah.
And this whole rest of this scene is so frustrating to me because Johnny won't shut up, won't stop talking, and Stevie won't speak up, you know? Mm-hmm. And he just says, you know, again, I don't want to. He said this before when she was thinking of leaving. I don't want to get in the way of what you're trying to do here. And mm-hmm. I know it's important for you to find what you can do. If I pay you in installments, you'll have an income, really. Like, this is a good plan. And I think in this moment, you know, she's again second guessing herself. Like, she's not speaking up because what he's saying is making sense, even though it's not what she was expecting.
Mm-hmm. And let me add another layer to that. I think you're on the money, but I also think she becomes kind of insecure with her friendship with Johnny in that moment, because I think she now thinks
he doesn't want her there.
Or just like, if he buys me out, he's also buying out of our friendship. And right. he now sees her as like a number. And
just a business partner, just like a partner and cut and run.
A part of his own business. Yeah. Mm. Cut and run. And so I think she second guesses their closeness as business partners. And
that's a good observation.
I think that kind of shuts her up too, because she's just like, maybe he doesn't see our working relationship the way I thought he did. At least that was my interpretation.
Okay. That's a good observation. I like that observation. I will say, when we add in what she talks about later and trusting your instincts, I think maybe that's also causing her to second guess. Like, if this is Johnny's instinct as to what she should do, mm-hmm. maybe I should take his advice. Maybe I should kind of get out there. But I do like what you're saying. That kind of really negates more of their family relationship mm-hmm. than they're just a business partner, you know?
Suddenly she's just another Betty. That
yeah.
He's trying to
buy
a hotel from.
Right. So another Betty or Benny Terpstra. Mm-hmm. So then at the end of this little spiel, he says, you know, and because you're going out on your own, I have a little gift for you. He brings this brown paper. It's obviously a book before mm-hmm. she even opens it. It's the perfect size. She opens it and she's like, wow. And it is Johnny's own book called The Business, The Johnny Rose Way, Fast Forward to Success. Now, I have the great best wishes book here, okay. And there is a perfect little spiel about this. First of all, it's a classic 1990s, late 80s Eugene Levy portrait on the front, mm-hmm. standing next to a video cassette tape with a Rose Video logo on it. So there's a word to the wise. This is apparently maybe something that must be in the book. Mm-hmm. There are 10 rules, Johnny Rose's rules of business. I don't know if you looked at this stuff.
I did not. Let's hear it.
So number one, don't spend your money all at once.
Okay.
Good advice. Number two, sometimes you lead and sometimes you follow. Number three, keeping an eye on the bottom line. That's how a business grows. My bosses could take a little fucking lesson in that. Number four, to run a business, you have to be here to run the business. That's fair.
Yeah.
I know a lot of like hands-off bosses and mm-hmm. hands-off situations. And it's like, I think your team doesn't respect you as much if you're not there.
Totally.
So 5, it's all about planning. Very mm-hmm. true. 6, there's a solution to everything. Very optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
7, you can't just buy things for yourself and write them off.
Hey, I like David. Some of these are like clear throwbacks to episodes.
Yep. 8, you want to make sure you're making good bagels the real way. Love that.
Very specific, but valid.
9, the sink doesn't fix itself. Okay. I have a hard time believing this is in the fast forward to success book since all of these things happened after. 10 is my favorite. In times of crisis, the one thing we need to hang on to is family.
Ooh,
so
nice.
Those are Johnny Rose's 10 words to the wise, it says on that
those
page.
Are
so I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
So she hands him he hands her this book and off he goes. It kind of ends and she's just kind of dumbfounded and doesn't really know what to do. And
that meeting did not go
the way she was planning it at all. She has some time to think about it though. Mm-hmm. She comes back to the motel office and perfect timing because Johnny needs help with the computer as she enters the door.
This darn file, Katie.
He said, I can't get this file to open it. And she says, remember, there's a post-it note. Did you read this post-it note? The post-it note literally says file open, as in click the file menu mm-hmm. and click open. Or there's this also beautiful trick where you can just double click something and it does open.
Yes. I love how gentle she is with him about this. Like she doesn't condescend, but she, you know, patronizes him a little bit. And because she knows, and I think I do this to my mom all the time. Like if I tease her about not being able to do something, they're going to like shut down and be right. like, well, forget They'll it. I'm not going to learn.
Forget
so
you're
just
going
to be like, yep, that is how you take a screenshot. In fact, somebody texted my mom, OMW. She was like selling something on Facebook Marketplace and they were coming to pick it up. And she's like, I'm waiting for this person to arrive. They texted me O space M space W. What does that mean? I was like, it means they're on their way.
On my way.
Oh,
if I type that into my phone, I think my phone auto fixes it to the full sentence.
It does with an exclamation point at the end.
Yeah. Excitedly on my way.
Yes.
So she helps Johnny out, you know, and she says, I've had some time to think and I think I know what I want to do. And once again, Johnny is interjecting. I just want to tell Johnny to shut up sometimes, mm-hmm. like stop talking. Well, is it Larry Ayer? Because they did call me for a reference and blah, blah, blah. Like they also asked if he wanted to be a pilot, which we know that's sketchy.
He must have a voice that sounds like it would be good. Over
seem like a pilot figure, if I'm being honest. He could be
Those
a good pilot.
Suits, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't open a file, so maybe
he
not.
Doesn't know how to use a computer, but he could fly an airplane, multi-million-dollar airplane. So Larry Ayer held for reference. She says, no, that's not it. This is the last time in this episode we hear about Larry Ayer, but will not mm-hmm. be the last time in this season, guys, no. just so you know.
Yeah.
And she says, I just realized I've read probably the first page of his book mm-hmm. and it talks about trusting your instincts. And he said, well, he just starts to interrupt.
Shut up, Johnny.
Stop, Johnny. Let stop. And she says, no, I haven't been trusting your instincts. And this is a really great insight because she's come to this realization that Johnny has run a big business once before. And I think the thought of franchising the motel made her super nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obviously a big step
outside her comfort zone.
Yeah. But now that she's like branched out and seen Larry Ayer, realizes the grass isn't really that greener. Mm-hmm. She thinks, well, if he did this once before, why can't he do it again?
Yeah.
And she wants to be a part of it. And Johnny mm-hmm. is relieved as all
oh my
get out.
Gosh. He had a
little kid smile on his face.
He fooled us all. His poker face going into mm-hmm. that meeting at Stevie's apartment was so good because
he thought he was doing what she wanted.
Yes.
You know, and what she needed, but what she really wanted and needed.
Go ahead.
Was to just come back home.
Because didn't he also propose that he would have to pay her in installments?
Yeah.
So I wonder if like the financial capacity was weighing on him if he was going to actually
right
buy her
that's
out.
True because I was wondering in that scene when he said that, well, where are you even getting money from? You couldn't get a loan from the bank for the new motel, so what money do you have?
Right.
And if you're making money from the motel, how Stevie still owns it, how is she not still making money from the motel? This is you got to trust the world of television in this storyline because there's a lot of mm-hmm. unconnected dots
here,
but yeah. So he is relieved. He's so ecstatic. He's got this little kid face. And he said, well, you know, you may not want to trust all of my instincts because since you've been gone, I have taken on another business partner. And of course, in a town of this size, she knows it's Roland. She said, you know, feeling pretty good about this decision right now. Let's not talk about it. So
she also mentions his new business cards that he
have 75 typos on them. So not surprising, Roland.
No.
So anyway, that's where that storyline
is. The partners are back together. Yeah,
the gang's all back. And they're threesome now, Roland, Johnny, and Stevie. A threesome. We'll see Johnny and Stevie later, and Roland even. But for now, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and see what the rest of the crew's doing.
Sounds good.
This week's episode is brought to you by Ornithology Today, the region's leading periodical on all things aviary. With exciting articles and insights each month, you're bound to go head over feathers each time your monthly subscription arrives in your nest. Whether you'd like to work on identifying and improving the tone and tempo of your bird calls, knowing which species are more likely to do your laundry and make your bed for you, or simply would like to understand more about our mysterious and off-maligned friends such as the crow, Ornithology Today is packed to the brim with fun facts, articles, and trivia, just like a down pillow waiting to burst. When you sign up for a subscription and use our special podcast promo code, CACAW, you'll receive a complimentary coffee table with your first issue, so you always have the perfect spot to store each month's edition. So the next time you're mindlessly swiping or insta-lurking, turn away from the digital media and treat yourself to some feathered friend facts as you swoop into a copy of Ornithology Today. Thanks again to our sponsor, where the only thing foul are the birds.
Okay, and welcome back. Thanks to Ornithology Today for sponsoring our program. Steph, you know I'm an avid reader of Ornithology Today.
Are you?
I know many bird facts thanks to Ornithology Today. Birds have hollow bones. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
They have tiny brains. I also, last summer, found a baby bird in my pool. It was alive, thankfully. Okay. He was on the top step, and I got to identify him thanks to Ornithology Today.
Oh, wonderful.
And I set him free into the wilderness where he belonged.
Wow, that's great.
Also, speaking of ornithology, because I read Ornithology Today, I got a Final Jeopardy question not that long ago.
Oh, yeah?
Thanks to Ornithology Today. The answer was, what is an ornithologist? But if I didn't watch Schitt's Creek or watch Ornithology Today, I would not know that.
Speaking of that, did you ever watch Stevie's or Emily on Jeopardy last week? I forgot
all about it. I still have it on recording, though.
Okay, so then we won't talk about it. Well,
you watched it.
I need to watch it too. Saying Jeopardy just reminded me.
Yeah, I meant to mention that in the beginning that I completely forgot to watch that after
last
week.
We'll make that a note for next week.
We have it on record, so I'll watch it this weekend, hopefully.
Okay.
Well, not next week because we're off next week.
Okay. Well, then like in a month.
Not a month. Okay. Okay. Let's move on to the boys' storyline. We saw Stevie dropped him off at the oral surgeon's office, you know, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So next we see David bringing Patrick back to the apartment, and he's under anesthesia and thanking him for giving the Uber driver so many hot tips. So, of course, we know they took an Uber driver home, which is the most unrealistic thing about this because there are no Uber drivers in the boonies like this, guys.
No, maybe he had to schedule it.
Maybe. I just recently, speaking of Ubers, was talking about how I hate driving, and I was going to Bay City by myself last weekend, which is a two-hour and 15-minute drive. I loathe driving. And this guy at work said, why don't you just take an Uber? And I said, yeah, that'd probably be worth it. So I quick checked it. It was $173 one way to Uber to Bay City. I'm like, that's a lot. So, and they don't have Uber in Bay City either. They have it in Grand Rapids, but
how are you gonna get home?
How do I get home? Right. So Patrick says, you know, obviously it was a car ride on the way home. You know, he said, thanks for all the hot tips you gave the Uber driver. David said, I was worried about my rating, but, you know, I think he thought it was amusing in the end. I never even look at my own rating. I don't even rate my drivers anymore. Do you?
Oh, I always rate my driver.
I did before. I used to, but I haven't in recent
times.
And I've
only ever given a drive. Like, there's been like maybe two times where I gave them less than a 5-star. But there was like something specific that they did that I was like, that does not feel like a good choice, Uber driver.
It's got to be like really dumb if you're not giving five stars to me, because it's not that hard to just get a ride.
Like one time I had a driver who was playing like really loud, explicit music. And I felt like they almost like T-boned another car. I'm like, okay, get me out of this car, please. This is not.
I once got in an Uber from my house. I don't remember where it was going, but I got in the car and the guy's on speakerphone with somebody apparently at another job. And this person on the other line said, where are you at? Or where are you coming in soon? And he said, nah, today's going to be my last day.
He quit his job.
And you're just in the back seat watching this unfold. Back seat.
Okay. I guess you're not going back. I guess he's making bank Ubering, you know? He's like, nah, I'm not going to be in. You can just take me off the schedule, basically.
That's hilarious.
I don't know where it was, but that was like one of them. I want to hear about people's funny Uber stories, because I'm sure there are great 100%. Stories out there. Patrick would be a great one. You know, like you get someone like that in the backseat. He's high as a kite on whatever they doped him up on, which you are when you wake up from that stuff, right? Do you remember when, before TikTok and all the famous reels and stuff, when YouTube was just the thing you did, David after dentist was like the famous YouTube video, and the kid was so stoned, and is this going to be forever? And he was like one of the first viral sensations. That is how everybody is after their wisdom teeth, right? And that's Patrick in this scene. And he says, David, I'm really hungry. I'm a hungry hippo, which is one of the most aggressive and triggering games from my childhood. I don't know about you. That shit got way too out of hand, way too fast.
When I was working in Buffalo years ago, we did a weight loss competition at work, and you're on teams of four, and our team name was the Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Oh, wow. Fun. That's fun for a weight loss game.
Yeah.
There's a giant life-size one apparently at Dave and Buster's where you sit on the hippo.
You
sit on the hippo and you have to move the head to get the giant balls.
Oh, wow.
I just remember it being so loud and you're pounding so hard on the
aggressive
thing. This is not fun. This is now I know why parents drink, you know, like that's the type of thing that would drive me to drink. So
totally.
Patrick is channeling his inner Garfield and requests a lasagna. David says, yeah, right. Can you imagine? I agree. Lasagna is a lot of steps. Nobody's making that. And unless it's a Stouffer's out of the freezer, no one's making that. And even then, they take way too long, right? We can't feed you right now. You're not supposed to eat after this. Why don't you just rest your little voice? And then he says, why are you so handsome? And David said, well, unless you want to keep giving me compliments. Well, in that case, keep talking, which is such a David move.
He's so easily flattered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He loves it when people give him compliments. Why is your skin so soft? It's just a 9-step regimen that I do twice a day. What?
I can barely
bother to get a makeup wipe and brush my teeth before bed. Like a 9-step regimen twice a day?
Yeah.
Who has time for that? Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
What's your skincare regimen?
It's inconsistent, but I do have a lot of products.
I have a lot of products, and I'm very inconsistent. That's my skincare regimen.
We talked about this
in the Olivu episode.
Yeah, I like to like have a little skincare night every now and then. So I've got products lined up. I would say in the morning, I've got like 3 to 4 products. So I obviously wash my face. I do the toner. Sometimes I'll put on a vitamin C serum and then some moisturizer. Although my skin's been kind of like oilier as the seasons change, so I'm not moisturizing as much. At night, I'm the same though. Like if I can remember to take off my makeup, that's a win.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually one of my 30-day rules, bedtime routine, which involved basically just wiping my makeup off with a makeup wipe, putting on a moisturizer and brushing my teeth. And
those are good.
I did that for 20 some days straight. And now I've fallen off the wagon on that one.
Okay.
Don't care. I like when I get off the couch and move to my bed, I just want to go there. I don't want to do those things.
Maybe you need to keep the wipes at your bedside table with like a little trash.
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
Then you can literally do it in bed.
Then I'm always doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to think about that.
Okay. That seems like a Johnny Rose tip right there.
Oh, yeah.
Work
smarter, not harder. I was going to say make it less complicated or something, but smarter, not harder is better. David's is 9 steps. I'm wondering if he's working on that Olivu regimen or what he's doing there, but he probably uses something more expensive than Olivu. So Patrick is getting, you know, kind of sidetracked, and David says, okay, we're going to put you to bed. Like, just let's rest this off, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says on his way over to bed, you know what I really want to do with you? And I love David. Well, ethically speaking, we can't do that with you in this state. Yes. Right. Right. He thinks he's going to get lucky here.
Yeah.
And Patrick says, I want to have a baby with you. And again, David's still on the sex sideline here and says, we'll make a baby as soon as you sober up. Mm-hmm. And Patrick said, no, not make a baby. He doesn't want to have sex with you. He wants to have a baby, like get a baby in the family. And holy smokes, like this is a 180, David says, turn of events. And he just keeps going on and on about this. And you can see immediately how triggering this is to David, mm-hmm. which I got to say it would be, especially considering what we already heard in the car earlier today. I mean, for David, if you're in David's shoes, what you heard in the car earlier today, you would be such a good dad. Mm-hmm. Have we met in what country? In what
we also
state
know that Dan in real life does not care for babies.
Yeah. And we've already I feel like we've already breached the subject that David's just not a kid person. I don't even know if it's been said out loud, but I feel like it goes without saying he doesn't want kids. Mm-hmm. And he says, okay, like, why don't you just go to sleep? And Patrick just brings him in and hugs him. He says, I'm really hungry again. And just imagine us cuddling right now, but with a really tiny baby.
With a baby.
So David's a little freaked out.
He's feeling a little smothered and trapped. He's
being really like, oh, shit, now what? So a little while later, they wake up and, or Patrick wakes up. I'm sorry. He says, good morning. And David says, yeah, morning. It's 5 a.m. It's 5 p.m. and the drugs are wearing off now. Patrick is sobered up.
A little more sober.
He has no real recollection of getting into this bed or anything that happened. And David said, well, I can refresh your memory. You were talking a lot and you complimented my flawless skin and called me the Jewish Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum's a good looking guy, better than Diplo. I'd prefer the Channing Tatum picks over Diplo, right?
Definitely.
David said that all tracks and then immediately changes the subject to you told me you wanted us to have a baby. And Patrick just kind of laughs it off first. And then David said, yeah, and goes on about that. And Patrick said, wait, are you serious? I said that. And David's like, yeah. You said that. And Patrick knows immediately how this must be for David because he knows his fiance. He knows how he panics about things and how he overreacts about things and how emotional he gets.
And he's
about
had
things.
Hours to like stew in this while Patrick is
sleeping.
Know,
he's been sitting here alone because even when he was sitting there waiting for Patrick to wake up, I thought, what has he been doing this whole time? Just sitting there staring at him because that's what he's doing when he wakes up. And you know, his wheels are just turning. And Patrick said, oh, my God, that must have been very like scary for you. And David said, yeah, it's a little triggering, traumatizing, you know? Mm-hmm. And he just like kind of talks him off this ledge. Patrick does. And he says, you know, it's fine. I know you don't want to have, this is an important discussion to have before you get married to anyone.
Or even engaged.
I think I've said this before. Joe and I didn't really have this big discussion about kids. I think that we both were raised in a family with siblings. And both went into our marriage and our relationship with the assumption that we would someday have kids. Mm-hmm. Like,
okay.
So Patrick says, you know, you never picture yourself doing something that didn't end up happening. And I love this. Like he said, I'm fine with the life we have. I'm happy with it. And things change. And that is, I 100% relate because I will tell all my life I grew up thinking I'm going to have kids. You know, even when we bought our first house, I was like, oh, if we have a kid, we can put it in this bedroom and this and that. Things change. Our circumstances change. I like our lifestyle. I like to travel.
And you don't feel like you had to like let a dream die or make it.
And
super
I don't
dramatic.
Feel like I'm missing out on anything. Yeah. And Joe and I never really had to have a big discussion about it because we just adapted
organically
and grew and changed together. Like
took.
That's just how it like happened.
Yeah.
And I have Joe and he's 50 and he is a kid. So I don't really need any more in my life.
Yeah. You've got your hands full.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that Patrick said that though. He said, you know, it's fine. Yeah. Things change and I'm very happy. And I think that's important to accept in life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just have a kid because that's what you dreamed you'd always do.
Or what people expect you to. You also don't have to get married either.
Yeah.
You can live whatever kind of life you want to live.
Exactly. So great life lessons from Patrick in this episode. Agreed. He talked to Stevie about her job, and he talked to David about this kid situation. He talked him off the ledge, really, because David was ready to bolt. So they both kind of come down from this conversation, and Patrick said, you know, the pain meds are wearing off. If we're going to make your mom's premiere tonight, you better get me some of those painkillers. And David said, ooh, I might want in on this little pill trip also.
Yeah.
So they popped some pills and off they went. So finally, we are at the premiere storyline of the night. And after the big presentation in the morning or whenever this was, Alexis is feeling deflated and Moira just kind of goes about her business. Well, she shows up at the cafe and Jocelyn and Twyla are there seemingly gossiping at the counter. And Jocelyn kind of mimics a phone call. Access Hollywood, have I got a celebrity sighting for you? Moira's kind of like, what are you talking about? And they start talking about this premiere and Moira says, oh, you know, it's not. You should tone it down. It's just a viewing party. So apparently there's still something going on. It's just a viewing party now.
Yes.
And Twyla and Jocelyn are kind of disappointed. Well, like, oh, we thought it was a premiere. And apparently something has caught wind. Who knows where this all came from? Because I know also, Alexis was so deflated, she wasn't passing it around.
Right. And good on Jocelyn for, like, after last week where she understood this was important. She's being a good cheerleader now this week.
Yeah,
too.
For sure. And yeah, that's a really good point, actually. She's such a good friend to Moira.
She is.
It's really cute. Mm-hmm. She says, you know, it's really too bad because I was bringing a plus one to the premiere tonight from the press. And I heard about this review. And as soon as the word review comes up, Moira's ears perk up. Like, whoa. Yes. Like, she's got little antennas.
People are talking. Reviews,
like, somebody's talking about us. Yeah. And this is so funny. Twyla said, yeah, it was on that Crow's Facebook or social media page you made us all
you
follow.
Made us follow. Yeah.
This brings me to one of my biggest pet peeves, Stephanie. And I will say I'm guilty of this. And this is mostly a Facebook world thing.
Okay.
Inviting people to like a business page or a page.
Oh. That's a thing now.
So, I mean, it was a thing before, too. I used to do it, too, when I had a business page. But I've been getting, just as of late, random invites to people who only slightly know me to invite, you know, like this chiropractor's office. Well, why would I do this? This chiropractor lives on the east side of the state, and I don't know this person. Like, stop inviting me to this crap.
That must have all... See, I think I hopped off the Facebook train before that became a thing, because then it's, like, more just to help promote the businesses versus like following because you
so like
are interested or have
when we had the video business page, I would I would invite like our brides and potential brides. And then if someone liked one of our videos and they were connected to one of our brides and grooms somehow, I would be like, oh, invite you, please like our page.
Yeah.
Because it's all word of mouth. But this person is just obviously randomly going through her friends list and just clicking invite. It's like, oh, please stop. I'm never ever gonna like this.
Right. Does she work for Olivu?
I don't know. She's a former bride.
Okay.
She seems like the type that probably is into one of those pyramid scheme type.
Hey, boss girl.
Hey, girl babe. Boss. I'm about to start a memoir about that. I'll let you know how it goes. It's called Hey Hon and something subtitle about all the dark secrets of multi-level marketing companies.
Let me know. That sounds interesting.
Writing it today. So the girls are really disappointed to find out that Moira's not really into this. But as soon as the word review perks up from Ornithology Today, of all people, Moira's interested. If anyone knows Crows, it's Ornithology Today.
Totally.
Hello.
And they're probably so excited to have a film connected to their interests and their industry.
I mean, since Alfred Hitchcock, because they had one, right?
Yeah,
actually, Crows Have Eyes too, probably.
But that wasn't maybe streaming like Interflex.
Yeah, right. It's not as famous. So Moira reads the review. The Crows Have Eyes is good fun.
Just hyperbolic.
I mean, they already had fun in there, but then they added good. She's so funny. And Jocelyn says, well, they even commented about you specifically, and in the most perfect description of Moira Rose, the words delightfully unhinged are attached to her name. And I love it. It is mm-hmm. the perfect description of Moira Rose.
Absolutely.
And Twyla said, it's too bad you won't be there. It would have been nice to cheer you on, which is, again, another just another great friend she's made in this town and the mm-hmm. Jazza gals and the whole community.
So excited.
And suddenly now Moira said, well, you know, like, don't cancel your date. Don't cancel your plus one. There might be a show stopping star at the premiere. You might mm-hmm. want to tell your friend over at the Chronicle. Come on over. And suddenly the girls are more excited. She's like, you're coming then? You're coming? She said, oh, yeah, I'm not eating now. She leaves her food at the cafe. And mm-hmm. Twyla says, I don't know what I'll wear. And Moira says, well, I always err on the side of formal, but black tie casual seems fine, too. Black which is like, casual. Is there any difference between formal and black tie casual?
When she says black tie casual, I'm picturing like one of those T-shirts with the tuxedo printed on it.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a perfect. Yeah. That's very casual, but still black tie. That's right. Great. So she leaves, and it's so cute when she leaves how Twyla and Jocelyn are like,
excited.
They're so excited for their friend. But on her way out, she says, pack your eye drops. You won't want to blink in the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's very dense, apparently.
Yes. Also, so she some gets contradictions to the previous two. Yeah. The
they said, are you sure it's okay? We didn't see the first. So she said it's better that way because it doesn't even make any sense, which is kind of weird for a sequel.
Yeah.
So Moira returns to the motel and she gets busy working on wigs like right away. And Alexis walks in and she says, okay, we have a problem. So blah, 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 blah about the viewing. And Moira suddenly is like in a frenzy, is talking about a premiere. And Alexis says, wait, it's a premiere now. You said a week ago it was just a viewing show. So this was a week ago that this presentation happened.
That line kind of threw me off. Yeah.
I felt like it was like the same day
that
or
morning.
Something.
Right.
So, but now Moira says, oh yeah. And as she's talking, she's pulling out this black garment bag from the closet. It's her freaking dress.
It is.
Yeah, Alexis says, what is that? I thought you sent that back weeks ago. Well, I did. I sent something back anyway. A cute, sparkly Stella McCartney thing. Alexis said, that was mine. I've been looking everywhere for it. She says, it's a premiere. Let's get going. She's really hyping this up now. Mm-hmm. And this is typical Moira fashion. Like, oh, now that someone else is excited, now it's a big deal. So now
she can't be the only one excited about it.
Now there's an emergency. And poor Alexis. She had a week before, if that other line is correct. But now she has 4 hours to throw together a premiere. 4 hours? That's eons, Moira says, in the publicist world, which I got to say, it's probably a stressful, high pressure industry to work in. Mm-hmm. She said, when Demi decided at Friday at 6 to celebrate her 40th and Aspen, everyone was in parkas by 7. So 1 hour to plan a getaway to Aspen for Demi Moore, because what other Demi is there, right?
That's who I think of.
And she said, you better get used to the pressure, darling. Mm-hmm. It's just true. So next we see Alexis buzzing around town hall. She's stacking chairs. She's moving things. People are kind of buzzing around in the background and Ronnie is there and Roland shows up and he says, all right, what's the deal? I was having a pre-show bath and I only get that opportunity 5 or 6 times a week. I don't want to picture Roland in the bathtub.
No, but also great job, new dad.
I know. That's typical though. Moms get that chance once a year and dads get it 5 times a week, right? Yeah. And Ronnie says, does this have anything to do with the TV stations that are calling and asking about parking? So now there's TV stations mm-hmm. coming, not only the Elmdale Chronicle, but TV stations.
I know.
And Alexis says, the premiere might be getting a little bit bigger than I thought. And Ronnie says, oh, snap, it's a premiere now? Because you said it was just a viewing party. And Roland said, well, that's a problem. My skinny jeans are in the wash. Wonder where his leather jacket is. You gotta assume he's wearing that fancy leather digs, right?
Yeah.
So now Ronnie's on the pitch for a carpet. She says, I didn't order that one you wanted me to get, mm-hmm. you know, because you told me this wasn't happening. Alexis says, I will take any shade of red, and it doesn't have to be 60 feet. So she's lowering her standards.
Mm-hmm. 60 feet, that's a long carpet.
It's so long, right? That's like the whole town. Uh-huh. Any shade of red and not 60 feet. And mm-hmm. Ronnie says, well, I have a 20-foot Merlot. That's all I can offer. Fine. Okay.
But she tore Roland. It out of like a church or something.
Yeah, she just kept it. It was just an extra thing. Roland says, well, and I assume you need me here for star power because if the mayor's there, it's got to be big. She said, no, dummy, you're the Crow's connection, as if he could forget. And he said, well, it's a little late notice now, but she said, okay, come on. And Ronnie brings up the liquor license because who doesn't want to drink at this thing, right? Right. Ronnie, your town hall, don't you manage the liquor license situation?
You can sign it right
can't
now.
Can't you like figure something out? And Alexis literally puts her foot down. I love this part. Mm-hmm. She says, listen, we have a 12-time daytime Emmy Award attending actress going to be here. And this is bringing publicity, good publicity to your town.
Right.
This is like one of those small town things. You know, it brings in business, just like mm-hmm. Singles Week. It's going to bring in business.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the motel because it's a one-day event, but the cafe, the stores put will certainly thrive.
So buck up and help. It's good for everybody. Help
or I'm just pulling the plug. We're not doing it. And so they finally agree. Ronnie says, fine, but you owe me a prime spot on that carpet. She's like, you want to walk the red carpet? And this is one of those surprising things from Ronnie, because we know she kind of likes to get glamorous. Mm-hmm. From even season one, when she got that fur coat, I'm going to feel like Patti LaBelle.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that moment.
She's got, she's got her cargo pants and her carpentry business, but she's got a little glamorous side. Damn, she looks real good later in the show. And the actress who plays her, remind me of her real
name,
please.
Karen Robinson.
Yes, she does look so glamorous when they were at their night at the Emmys. Like she always spiffs up so beautifully.
She does.
So, and that's a little secret side of Ronnie. We don't get to see a lot, but we got to see it tonight. So she says, honey, it's a movie premiere. As if I'm not going to walk the red carpet. So,
right.
So Roland's going to walk the carpet too. And Alexis says, fine, everything's under control. Just do your part and let's get it done, guys. Let's go. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're off. They're off to get this shit in motion.
What's happening?
And the premiere is here and frickin' Moira arrives. Like, if she has ever arrived in this show, she arrives. She steps out of the car. First of all, we've got Stevie driving the car as if it's a limo, the family car, which is the closest thing to a limo in this town. And Stevie's dressed in a little suit, like a limo chauffeur, driver.
Yeah.
It opens the door and Moira steps out and she has the dress on, which we've already seen her in the dress. Frickin' glamorous, right?
Honestly, I know I told you.
Is this your favorite?
This is my favorite. This even tops what she wore at grad night. I just love this whole look on
her. I remember you even costumed grad night. So
yeah,
that's saying something. Yeah.
I mean, I've got a wedding coming up. Should I be wearing a sunburst crown instead of a veil?
I mean, I've got a wedding coming up also.
Oh, you do? We've got
what
options.
Should I be wearing? There's also Halloween coming up in a much sooner notice. This are you doing true. A Schitt's Creek theme this year?
I feel like we have to. One more for the road.
We have a party to attend and I have a couple's idea for Joe and I. I'll tell you later, but I'll have to all see right. if we can like dress up for the podcast.
I mean, we'll have an episode at least.
So Moira steps out of this car and damn, she is looking good, right?
Yes.
We already knew the dress looked great on her. The headdress is just, or headpiece or whatever you want to call it's just the icing on the cake, yes. right? But that thing makes me so nervous. Like, don't get too close to that or you'll poke an eye out.
Go in for a hug and lose your, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Lose your eye.
So she steps out of the car and Johnny kind of gives her a little pep talk and says, I'll be right behind you 10 feet like always, which is kind of indicative of their former relationship. Yes. And it was obvious that she wanted to be the show stealer. And,
and she said,
she said, not tonight. I want my hand candy by my side. So cute. She's showing a little growth here.
Yeah.
We look to the front of the line and Alexis is corralling people and still managing a schedule. And obviously Ronnie got to go first because she's in the front in this sparkly getup.
Yeah.
Roland got his skinny jeans out of the dryer and he's wearing a stole, like a Harry Potter stole or a Masonic temple member stole. Yeah. I don't even know what he's wearing. And Jocelyn's there by his side in a little red dress, little red something. And Alexis is like, okay, people, move it, move it, move it. Let's keep it going. We have a timeline here.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys are in the crowd and you see them kind of just observing and commenting on the side. Patrick said, where did all these people come from? And
Patrick
said,
is wearing like a little suit jacket.
Yeah,
too,
he's got like his typical, I feel like it's typical, you know, blue on blue suit that he wore to their first date almost type thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So And it's clear that they're buzzed out of their mind totally. When they come. And Stevie comes up to them. Why are you guys both glassy-eyed? Totally calling them out. And David just laughs. Why are you dressed like a limo driver? Moira insisted. It was a nice touch, I got to say. It was a nice touch. And Moira finally gets up to the steps. And Alexis kind of tries to debrief her, if you will. Mm-hmm. And Moira says, no, mommy's home. I'll take it from here. And Moira is in her element. Living like, just the best. Yeah, she's living for this moment. Suddenly, this event is not beneath her, right?
No.
And she kind of welcomes everyone and gives a little spiel and says, welcome to the North American screening of the psychological thriller, The Crows Have Eyes 3, The Crowning. She says crowning so weird. And everyone claps and this guy in this blue t-shirt just stands behind her like ominously. And she says, let the crowning commence. And she waves her hand and he pulls this curtain off of this cage and all these crows fly away. And it's so cool, right?
Everyone's initially, so right? Impressed.
She just really congratulates Alexis. What a cool idea. Like, this was so cool. And suddenly things take a turn.
Yeah. A dark cloud returns over crows the premiere.
Disperse, but then the crows come back. Mm-hmm. And in a very Hitchcock scene, the birds start attacking people. People start screaming. Moira's yelling, don't look them in the eyes. And Alexis says, shut up. You're making them madder. And then Moira declares, I know a little bit of their language and starts.
just like chaos.
Just complete chaos. Everybody's screaming. And the perfect ending to this scene is the stupid high boys that are totally oblivious. They're the only ones in the crowd not ducking. They're just observing it all with their glassy wide pupils.
Never been happier.
David says, this is fucked.
It's so funny. As he's smiling. Katie, have you ever been to a wedding or worked a wedding where they did like, because people will do the doves.
The doves. No, we never did. We never did one like that.
I had a cousin. They got married maybe like early mid 2000s and they did the dove releasing the little bit. So you rent them and a person shows up with a basket full of doves. And I remember it being kind of weird. Like
it feels weird.
We're standing out front of the church after the ceremony. Everyone's just kind of like standing. And then my cousin, I remember he was so nervous. It was his wedding, was going to like, the bird was going to poop in his hands or something. And then my other cousins are hassling, like, don't kill it. Like, you're crushing it or
don't
something.
Don't squish it or whatever.
But you release it and you get a photo, but that's like it. And then I guess the birds know to fly back.
They're trained to come
place.
Back, right? Yeah. I have seen TikToks of dove releasings at funerals gone wrong.
Oh.
Like, where they just
funeral
either attack the person or one like got grabbed by an eagle or some predatory bird immediately.
And then that's what you remember forever.
Whatever.
Maybe we don't.
So, nothing like that. I've heard of like butterflies and things like that too, but we never had anything like that.
I will tell you, we are not doing any sort of
immersive experiences.
Aviary immersive experience.
If anything, we're all adopting kittens after the wedding, right?
You know what?
Have you seen the thing where people carry kittens instead of bouquets? Mm-hmm. We are not having wedding parties. So
and they work with like an adoption agency.
A rescue.
They hope like maybe some of their guests will adopt. That would be so cute.
You have to do that, Stephanie. Do it.
There is a cat on the grounds of our venue. So.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. I'm so excited already. We're going to a resort next week. And I keep telling my friend Christina, I hope there are stray cats at the resorts because there have been. And in the past few times we've gone, we've seen them on the resorts. Uh-huh. And I don't know if they just show up or sometimes I think the resorts kind of put them there to have like rodent control. I don't care why they're there. I just want to pet them
just
and follow
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Anyway, the premiere has gone bad. Everything was going so well until this damn crow situation.
Thanks,
so,
Roland.
That very well could have been the end of the episode, I feel like. But we have this one little snippet back in the motel where Moira is just despondent in the bedroom over what happened. And Alexis is fretting and Johnny's pacing and just talking about how badly it went, and David walks in and doesn't help the situation. This premiere hoopla video has been shared 32,000 times. Mm-hmm. And Moira kind of gives the old like, oh, it's bad publicity. There's no such thing, right? And it is bad. It's seemingly bad, seemingly bad. And Johnny, everyone watches it and it's really dramatic. And Johnny said, it looks like people are running from your movie. And it's just, everyone's faulting Alexis. I feel really bad for her. David said, why were there even crows there? It's an immersive experience, David, which I got to give it to her until it went wrong. It was really cool.
They were
even
immersed.
Moira was on board and she said, crows, some of them were painted seagulls. Imagine. And it just ends with this terrible clip playing in the background and people screaming and Moira screaming, Alexis, make it stop.
This is really when they need some antibiotics because they have gone viral.
They might have bird flu at this time.
That too.
Joe's always yelling at me. Not only like when I picked that bird out of my pool, it was just a baby bird and I just scooped it up. He's like, why would you touch that bird? That's blah, 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 blah. You're going to get, I'm like, could you relax? He's also mad at me when I touch stray cats for the same reason. So I'm going to be disease ridden.
Yeah. You did get cat scratch fever that one time, though.
I did one time, but he actually scratched me and it was a big deal. Like,
yeah. Anyways, what a good episode.
It was good fun.
It was good fun.
So I'll give you just a little recap of a couple things I took from this episode. I love, first of all, the comedy in this episode is gold to me. Mm-hmm. I love all of the kids, the three Rose kids. I will say three because Stevie too. There's so much growth for all of them. Alexis, okay, like the episode didn't end the way she wanted it to, but for her to throw this together on such short notice and just put her foot down and really control things,
her element,
it was a success, like until the very last possible minute. For Stevie, just finally finding her voice and like telling Johnny, no, this is it. Like, this is what I want to do. We're going to figure this all out together.
For David, he welcomed her back so warmly,
And for David, for having this serious conversation, which would have made the former David run and hide or like just disappear. Like, we can't do this. We're not getting together. This isn't what you want. So much growth in the Rose children. Mm-hmm. So much star power for Moira. You can really see she's in her element here. Just such a good episode. I am declaring, Stephanie, it's very early in the season, but I am declaring this my Simply the Best of season 6.
This might be the earliest in any season ever.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But this one is just such good fun.
Such good fun. And damn it, Katie, you again taking the episode with my favorite Moira outfits. But this is so
favorite
good.
Moira outfit.
I'm so happy for you. This is a great selection. Well done.
I'm excited to defend it because as I was taking my notes, I could go on and on, but I'll defend it later.
Yeah.
But as I was taking my notes, I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be good. Oh yeah, this is gonna be real good. Real good. Yeah. I think people are probably surprised that I picked this as a Simply the Best. I think people will be surprised at yours too.
Possibly. Yeah.
So,
but well done, Katie.
I love it.
It's a great episode.
I do have some trivia for you. Okay. A couple quick ones.
All right.
See how you're paying attention. What is Moira's character name in The Crows Have Eyes?
Dr. Clara Mandrake.
Oh, you got that one so easily. Okay, just one other one. This one's a little tougher.
Okay.
What did Eugene write inside of the book he gave Stevie?
Oh.
Or how did he sign off on it? Either or.
It was like something about like best wishes for your future success, partner, or something.
Partner like is the key thing. It says, wishing you happiness in your bright future, your partner, Johnny Rose. I just thought that was really cute. Little nod, little like handwritten thing, little nod
that is
there.
Very
so
sweet. And I love that it wasn't generic. Like he doesn't have a pile from like a Barnes and Noble that didn't sell that he's just giving her one of. Like he actually wrote this.
This was a hand signed personal copy.
Mm-hmm. Hand delivered. So,
I got to get me a copy of this book. Mm-hmm. You know, of all of the Schitt's Creek swag too, we don't have anything from Rose Video. We should get on that.
Although if you go to the Schitt's Creek merch store, they do have some very fun Rose Video. It kind of looks like the logo for, if you're not from Michigan, you might not know, but there was a drive-thru franchise called Hot and Now.
Yes, it does. Remember Hot and Now? Hot and Now. And yeah. It has like a lightning bolt. You're right. It really does.
Hot and Now vibes.
So I was just going to ask you what's on for next episode, but I realized I'm taking next episode as well, right?
You are. And it's going to be a little bit of a hiatus, about 2 weeks.
We're taking 2 weeks off here. So I'm leaving Wednesday for vacation. Surprise, surprise. I know you're all shocked by that.
When we come back on the 29th. So that will be our Halloween
episode. That'll be our Halloween episode. Okay. Now I got to get busy when I get back and find something. So, 2 weeks off here. And then when we come back, we're going to move on to episode 6. I'm kind of glad I'm taking this episode 2 in a row because it's still a little repercussions from this premiere. So we'll talk about that. We'll see how whatever happens from this premiere disaster, if you will. And then just a little local towny story. Johnny and Bob and Roland and Ronnie are going to go out on the town. Yeah. So we'll kind of see a little more towny action next week. So definitely. Next time. Whenever that is.
Couple more weeks.
So this week, we already talked. I want to talk about any weird or interesting Uber stories.
Yes.
Right? What else did I say? I said, oh, this is another good poll.
Let's do wisdom teeth polls as well. Have you had your wisdom teeth removed? I also want to know how many teeth you had because everyone's anatomy is a little different.
Yeah.
I know some
people
have 5, which is real unfortunate.
Ew, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would suck.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a premiere or a screening of a film or a film festival?
You know what I didn't talk about when we were talking about that premiere party stuff too is like Alexis having this good idea. This is just real quick. Mm-hmm. Just having this good idea to do something local or something fun that's fancy, right? Well, I used to do like an Oscar party every year. Did I ever do that when we lived here?
You didn't.
You never came, right?
I never did.
We used to do this Oscar themed party when we lived in New York, and we would invite our friends over and we would have all movie themed snacks and we would ask everyone to bring their favorite movie candy to share. And then we would do a poll and like vote and take bets. Like it's just like a fun themed thing to do. So I really liked Alexis's idea in this beginning.
I do too.
So wisdom teeth stories, Uber stories,
movie premiere, film festivals. Have you been to a screening of anything? Have you ever walked any red carpet for any sort of event? Like
anything where you saw like a lot of famous people like that gathered in one place? I've been to one.
You have?
Kind of. When I lived in New York and we worked at our editing company we worked at, across the street, the hotel across the street was hosting the Fall Seasons Fox shows premiere, like announcements. Oh. I saw Simon Cowell.
Oh.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Because he was on 24 at the time. Simon Cowell was for American Idol. And Dr. House. Remember the show House?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Hugh Laurie, I think, is
Hugh
his real name.
Yes.
Yeah. I asked Dr. House, can I shake your hand? And Kiefer Sutherland, too. He like took a cigarette from his right hand to his left to shake my hand.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Paula Abdul and Rainey Jackson from afar. That was very red carpety. That was like a big deal. That was, of course, one of those things I was so excited to call home about. So, yeah. Have you ever been to any events like this? Any fancy red carpet type things?
Love it. Those are some good questions to tide us over.
Hopefully we get some good stories.
Yeah. Would love to hear some. Did you, or just like good anesthesia stories too, that can kind of tie in.
Doesn't necessarily need to be wisdom teeth, but any drug induced funny stories. What's your favorite painkiller of choice? Or is that too druggy for us? Oh boy.
All right. Well, thanks, Katie. And congrats again. A great final Simply the Best selection for you. And we'll miss everyone these next couple weeks, but we'll try to keep the socials active with some polls.
I'll miss everyone, but I'll also be on vacation.
I mean, yeah, you will.
So
enjoy your vacation. Safe travels.
I will. I'll send some pics.
Also, when this episode comes out, it's my birthday. So happy birthday to me.
It is. Sorry. I should have said that. Stephanie.
That's okay.
Why
I just
let me say that.
Should we do another take and you can say it?
Also.
No, no, no. I knew it. And of course, I will.
It'll be my birthday.
I will celebrate you.
I booked myself a facial.
Good for you. So your skin regimen is going to be strong on
your
birthday.
It's going
to
be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's like a one and done, you know, all in one. Get your quota in the year and then you don't have to take care of your skin the rest of the year.
Exactly. Just all in one day.
Is that how that works?
I think so.
All right, guys. Well, until we get back, we'll see you then. And best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Ka-ka. Bye.